Salam, everyone. Welcome to the second, or actually first, due to Paltalk issues, session with Maitreya. Hope you all are well and enjoying the feast. Before we begin, let's take a moment of silence to center ourselves, remove ourselves from other places and thoughts, and be completely here, that we may receive from Maitreya what he wishes to give us in its purest form. Salam. Today we have the great honor and blessing of having Maitreya himself, God is with him, in the room. Other names and titles given to him, as we know, are many and all deserved. They include the first begotten Son of God, the Christ, the Kalki Avatar, the Mahdi, he whom God shall make manifest, the Blue Kachina, the Seventh Angel, Satriopiningit, and many, many others. He is the representative of God, the formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal, fine, on earth. Come to reveal the mystery of God, unify the religions of the world and humanity, and bring the kingdom of heaven on earth, as has been prophesied. He will be available for the next hour and a half, from 9:30 to 11, to do whatever he would like. I don't exactly know what he will be doing, but whatever it is, it'll be great. So, you all know the rules for room conduct. I will just go over them briefly once again. To ask a question of Maitreya, you are expected to have visited the website and know the base of his teachings. You are expected to have searched the website for the answer to your question before asking it. There are hundreds of questions available, answered on the website. It is your responsibility to find those answers before asking them. If you do have a question for Maitreya, please type it in text. If your question is chosen to be answered, a mission representative will read your question, or you may be asked to come to the mic and ask it yourself. And of course, this may not apply anymore with the new rules, but we will see what happens in this session. Please be courteous and ask only one question at a time. If there are no questions, we will read from mission literature until another question is asked. If you do not follow these guidelines or attempt to grab the mic without Maitreya's permission, you will be red-dotted and are bounced. Please note that this is a public forum, and whatever you say is in public domain. We do record these sessions and may broadcast them later and see them and use them as we see fit. The mic is now released to Maitreya. Please give him your respect and undivided attention. Thanks be to God.
Salam, everyone. I guess with that introduction, my ego feels pretty large and weak, and but not really. And we're here just today. We're gonna have a session of a family, and I came here to answer question which we probably get to him. But how's everybody doing in the room? I know every one of you. If you wanna grab the Mike and tell about how are you doing and what is going on in your life, and like to talk about yourself a little bit and see how you are enjoying the feast and what is happening, go ahead. Just grab the mic. Just give a couple of, just probably a minute, you do that. If you like to do that, just let's be just a session of friends together. Come on, anybody, come on, just come here and let's be a friendly session. If we don't do it, I'm going to give a very deep, sad song that you never understand.
Thanks, God, Maitreya. That made me laugh. So I think, again, I think everyone is I think everyone is sitting back waiting for the other person to come to the mic again. So maybe in the future we all have to just raise our hand. That way we're not looking to see who's going to jump up in. So I'll go first. I'm just thanking God for the feast, for the energies of this feast, and for being able to share. I'm just, however, wishing I could share with more people. I have invited a few people, but it seems at this point no one has been able to get here, which is okay. That's the way it is. But the speech is not over, so we shall see with that. And as far as my house and my home and my environment, being at the feast and being home and working at the computer, and it's a little challenging, I must say, between the time difference and taking care of family matters in between. Although I've told everyone that I'm not here for the next week. Just forget that I'm here. I can't do that with my father, of course. So it's fun. It's God is good, and just loving the opportunity, and just very excited in my heart. Maitreya, how's he doing? Thank you, Maitreya. He's incredible, actually. You know, I mean, sometime I think, oh, I have to take him back to the hospital. Something's going on, whatever, and then we're okay with that. We're stable, and he's like regrows again. And he's 96, and he's amazing. He has a wheelchair, so he is, thank God, able to maneuver around by using his feet, and it gives him a little exercise at the same time. So he sort of scoots around the hallway, and which is good. I had him in the room here yesterday. Well, you know, we learn a lot from each other. So it also gives, it helps give me the strength to work, to continue to be someone that can see a bigger picture of things. So anyway, what else was I going to say? Working on the lecture has been also a challenge. I have not finished it yet. Tomorrow is my lecture day, so I'm working on it at points here and there. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful time to share and to learn and go over these teachings as many times as we've read them alone. There's nothing like being in a community and sharing these teachings. It's just the greatest. And so I just give thanks for Maitreya and Maitreyi and all of the divines for keeping on. And I'll turn the mic over now to someone else. And again, all thanks to the Father.
I'm sure your father appreciates being home. Life of an old person, and if humanity, you know, create communities of light and old people being used, they're going to be much happier, and the younger people also don't have to hire, you know, a stranger to take care of the family, because the community is going to be having the support. It's the communities of light is really the answer of all the thing we need, and I'm sure we're going to do just fine in the lecture. Whatever God comes through, that would be great. And everybody else is encouraged to give lectures, you know, even 15 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever. And that's probably that bad idea to raise your hand if you want, so we can get to you one after another. If you want to say something, go ahead. That's great. It's good to hear that, you know, everybody's doing good there and overcoming. I feel it's just like a session we used to have in the first feast, that everybody would come in the satsang and we talk about, you know, what they're doing and everything going, and everybody would participate in it. And of course, you don't have to, you know, we just, I'd like to see, you know, we are more having an informal session. Eunice, if you want to take the mic, go ahead. And anybody wants to talk, raise your hand. Go ahead, Radha.
Salam, Maitreya. Salam, everyone. I am I'm not better with my English language. Sorry about that, but I don't use it very often here. But here, life is going on, as everywhere. My mother is still alive, 96 years old also, but she is in a residence, a place for old people. It would not be easy for me to keep her with me, but she is okay and she is fine. And but her head is not there at 100%, but physically she is very fine, okay. And I am going between my mother and my two daughters. My daughters are in another city, in Montreal. And I'm just going on and on with life, and I'm still in the mission, not very present all the time, but I'm still there. Yes, everyone keep me busy.
Well, how are you yourself, Radha? That's good to hear your voice. We haven't talked with you for a long time, but we always appreciate your presence in the mission, and we all here love you and love everybody, and we appreciate what you're doing for the mission. And sorry to hear you're so busy, but it's good busy taking care of the family.
I am fine, no problem, even if I'm getting old, but it's okay. Everything is fine with me. Thanks, Maitreya. I hope it's the same for you.
Yeah, well, for my age, everybody says I'm doing pretty good, and apparently mission working if everybody does what is recommended, and exercise and good food and good, you know, environment, and have the loving people around you and love them, and apparently it's working. Something I'm doing good, that everybody says, hey, you don't look 69. So I hope, and actually everybody in the mission, even people in the center, they don't do and look, you know, their age. And I think maybe it's the beginning of the lengthening the life of the human from the 120 eventually to 900 in 1,000 years, but I'm doing just fine, thanks. Go ahead, take the mic if you have something else to add. Yeah, sure, our soul sure is ageless and eternal, for sure. Okay, Eunice, if you want to try again, I'm not sure if what's happening with your system and anybody else, you know, can just raise your hand. Otherwise, I'm going to start giving satsang. Go ahead, Anandamma.
It took me so long to get my hand up that you said otherwise you'd give sats on. That'd be a good idea. Anyways, things here at the mission are wonderful. It's just amazing how God comes through and everything gets done, and it's just so beautiful. The garden is growing, and it's doing great also. I posted some pictures of the pomegranate tree because that was another beautiful feature out there in the garden, and it's new this year. And we had a beautiful meal last night. And we had two of my walking buddies, Lael and Lucille, who came and enjoyed dinner with us and the movie of Muhammad afterwards. And so it was very, very nice to have them here and to have them interested in this movie and get a couple questions about our mission and our message answered. But it's a wonderful feast. I'm enjoying it so, so much. And and I hope everybody else is too. That's about it for me.
And usually you say, this was the best feast ever. Is it the best feast ever?
It sure is. I'm a lot busier this year than usual, but other than that, it's... Oh, it's wonderful. It's very, very nice. Well, that's enough to be said. It's the best feast ever so far.
So, look, we're not there. You're having a lot of fun. Do you still want us to come back, or are we going to stay away?
Well, Ma has kept herself extremely busy cleaning things that only she can see as dirty. So she tells me that the carpet is much cleaner now and the beds are much cleaner, and I believe her.
Oh, you can hear me? It says that the voice is activated, but there's no mic. Please come back. Yes, of course. But we feel your presence here and God's presence, and it's the mission. Thank God.
Yeah, I'm sure that everything is cleaner than ever. And enjoy it, because we're going to be back pretty soon. And everything is great, and it's good for everybody to start the mission without expecting for me to be present. And so you all should get more responsibility and involve yourself to see if I'm not around, still Mishko mission is going to go or not. And I hope it will. And I'm sure it will. But it's good for everybody to just assume more and more that, you know, do the mission without me. But that's great that I hear you guys doing good or there in the center and enjoying yourselves. And I'm sure we're going to have fun when we came back. Anybody else? Go ahead or raise your hand. Kyosha, you raise your hand. Go ahead.
My headphones for you to hear me well, so I hope that the sound is coming through well. Thank you, Maitreya. Thanks, God. And I am celebrating the feast here on my own in Asheville, North Carolina. I had to work the first day of the feast, but I am able to have all the rest of the days off, so that's wonderful. My work is for the Autism Society. I work with a little girl named Kelly, who I've been working with for about 5 or 6 years now. She is a joy and a terror. She can be the most joyful. I'm sure a lot of it depends on me and the Spirit of God coming through me. She can be the most joyful, wonderful, incredible, has taught me so much. And then at other times, You know, and actually it's much, much better now. She used to have very bad tantrums. She's much better, but she still has her times where it's very difficult to deal with her. I think communication sometimes is the biggest frustration for her. But I do like my job very much. And her family is wonderful. I feel at times like I'm a part of their family. I also am tutoring a young lady who's 20 years old for her GED. She has trouble with math and just needs to pass the math portion of the GED. So I just started tutoring her, which is good. Let's get back to the mission. Continuing to post on Facebook. I often have people come to me on Facebook and ask questions about the mission and the mission teachings, always directing them to the website, posting URLs for them for what might be valid for what they were asking. Like just yesterday, I had a lady named Bunny asking me about feeling through the heart. So I was able to post the essay on the different kinds of feelings, like the bhakti yoga and the jnana yoga and so forth, posted that URL. And also the time, place, and person, ignorance, passion, and knowledge, how everything, because that also went with her question. So it's wonderful to be able to search and use this wonderful knowledge that you have shared with us, Maitreya, that God has shared with us. And you know, I may feel like my progress is slow sometimes, and I'm sure it is, but it's there, and I'm still hanging on, and I pray that, you know, my life be about this mission. I want to say one more thing. I've also looked into, I don't know if you guys have seen those tiny houses, those teeny tiny homes. I'm still interested in moving to New Mexico if somebody, you know, would like to take part in that, or to start a community of light somewhere where it's good for the mission. And the teeny tiny homes are something that's actually doable. I mean, you can probably only have like two persons or maybe three persons with a small child in one of those homes. But just think how easy it would be able to clean an andaman. You wouldn't have to spend very long cleaning it. And I think it's good for me because I get so attached to possessions that it's a good way for me to look at giving up things. So that's a train of thought that I have going in my head. And the feast is wonderful. Although I'm by myself here, I'm enjoying every minute, getting some extra rest, and good to hear from all of you. So long. How do I let go? There we go.
Yeah, that is great, Kiyoshos. Your positive attitude and being so positive, you are the only person seems not having any problem whatsoever, and you are all positive about your life. Keep that up and just march on, and you know it's just gonna. The most going to take is another 1,000 years. That's not that much. Go ahead, anybody else? Eunice, you want to try again or you gave up?
Okay, Salom. Any sounds? Salom, Salom. Good sound, great. Never give up. Salam everyone, salam from Turkey. We are doing great. The feast is going good, even though I'm working again. but this time it's much better. We've been kind of resting with Niyama, and I'm studying, of course, for the lectures. And learning a lot, and also have the chance to now look back and you know to our regular lives and what's missing and see how it affects you and how to get stronger and you know we have the fist is helping us to reflect on the you know regular lives. Mundanity, in fact, not regular lives, but and realize how lucky we are and how to improve ourselves. because you have this knowledge, you know it, and but when you are not really in the middle of the world with everyone else, it's kind of different. But it is different when you are working out there and everything. People are not even aware of spirituality. You know, things can be different, but we have to learn. I needed to learn how to also apply this knowledge, this lifestyle, in the middle of all this. That's also so. All thanks to God. We are doing great. It's great to be here and hearing you guys. So salam. Okay, Niyama wants to say salam too. Say salam. But she's shy. Maybe next time.
That's great. That's beautiful. So, Salam Niyama, and you know, you are a part of the mission for sure. And how did your trip to Stockholm go?
I went to Amsterdam in Holland. We stayed there for about, I think, 5 days. It was good. It was great. There was this convention going on, and I learned a lot of information, necessary technical things for this job, and also met a lot of people all around the world, a lot of companies in our market, and made some connections. And also, it's a very good city. Even though it's under the sea level, it's a very nice city. I liked it very much. It was a good experience. I remember, because Turkey's or countries like Turkey or Middle Eastern or even some Eastern countries can be. A little bit too chaotic, you know, not too orderly sometimes. And the 5 days I was there reminded me of, the U.S. a little bit, and how organized things are. And I don't know, it made some sort of effect on me. And Niyama says that I am more relaxed now. This chaos here doesn't bother me as much as maybe it used to. Seeing that, you know, things can be orderly. So, yeah. But, yeah, we have the order in the middle of chaos here, at least in our house. So, yeah, all thanks to God. But and answering Tahir, no, I'm not sure if we're in the middle of the world per se, you know, literally. But what I meant was, you know, being in the middle of like mundanity. That's what I meant.
If you want to take the mic and converse with each other, that would be fine too. If you want to answer each other. Back and forth. Yeah, Stockholm. And that's great. What happened to Gene or Gene or in from, you know, that area that you talk about him and you visit or come and see? It sounds like he vanished or she vanished or something happened. Anybody knows what happened to her?
Yeah, it looks like he or she is not active in Facebook anymore. I didn't talk to her. In fact, I wouldn't have a chance to talk to her, even if, you know, unless she lives in maybe in Amsterdam and will come and to meet where we are. But otherwise, we were like, we left the hotel that we stay in usually 7:38 the latest in the morning, and we'll be in the convention usually till like 11 p.m. or 12 sometimes. Or even if not in the convention, we'll be with the people that we work with. So, yeah, but I haven't heard from her. Yeah, and no news. Maybe after all, you know, he disappeared, or maybe.
Well, we pray for her and like everybody else that is in the mission or came and left. You know, may God guide them, and if in this not this lifetime, maybe next lifetime they shall return to us. Sound like this lifetime truly, as God predicted, will be the thief of the night. And as God predicted, you know, even next lifetime, we will be the thief of the night to the end. And that means that although we know those who have seen the vision and the mission, they have seen the power and the truth in what God has revealed to us, humanity way away from wanting to be godly and good, and unfortunately are falling away from it every day more and more, and it's not gonna last. History has shown us again and again, anytime humanity goes away from God, they will bring destruction to themselves. So unfortunately, the only thing we can do at this lifetime is to pray for them and to pray for the elect that they are not lost and they are not fallen off their path, and hopefully they won't. And but if they do, you know, the only thing we can really do to pray for them and say, God, help them, please, you know, guide them back to the fold, as I have been instructed not to go after them. It's not the life of the going after the lost sheep. It's the time of the sundering. Those who fall off, fall off. You can't do nothing about it. And that's why it seems a little cruel, and all of them become very unhappy when we see what's happening on the earth. And we say, what can I do? Or why has happened? Or, you know, just how many people died in those wars in Middle East, and how this person, you know, a couple of days ago takes a gun and kills another 12 people, you know, in Washington or even in Europe, you know, and all this, you can, it affects you. You don't like what you see. What can you do? God said 2/3 of the earth are going to vanish. So it's a very human at the same time. We have to stay with God and godly and see things according to God's way and through His eyes. And He predicted this thing was going to happen. And unfortunately, the world has, even you guys that are dedicated to the mission, each of you have been here for a long time, you realize when you go to that external world how powerful it is. And it just, you know, want to change you. They do everything possible to take you away from God and mission and teaching, and it affects you no matter how dedicated you are. And maybe that's why God sends all of you back to earth. You become stronger. You become a tantric people that can go in the middle of the dragon's fire and not get born. So, yeah, it's unfortunate that people like Jean come, and then somehow, as Christ said, you know, the seed falls into the place and the wheat comes and choke it. It takes them away. It affects them. You know, you see out there, there's so much Maya, especially in the West. You know, there's so much Maya, you know, it just pull you in different direction, and you have to be pretty a strong person not to get sucked in. So we, as usual, we have said this thing many times. We are going to repeat it, and hopefully, eventually, it sinks into not our spirit, but the spirit of those out there, so we can help them also see the vision. Anybody else like to raise their hand or take the mic? If you want, just raise your hand. Otherwise, you have some questions. The people who asked it are not here. But we're going to go ahead anyway and just see what questions are and just work together to see what kind of answer. So go ahead, Shirin. Just a second. Unlock this. Go ahead.
Okay, let's see if this is working okay. It says you're talking. Sound okay? Great. I've got a new laptop here. I'm trying to figure out all the settings, and Windows 8 is a challenge. Well, it's good to hear everyone's voice. Shalom, Maitreya, and shalom, everyone. As far as just what's going on is with family, my daughter Sarah is doing great. She's still in Colorado Springs. And Brody, of course, is 8 years old, and he's doing great in the third grade in Montessori school. And his passion is skateboarding, and he's very good. He's been to competitions even. And for the first time last night, 8 years old now. Well, he'll be 9 in December. It's been a while. And then last night, for the first time, I was on the Skype with my grandson, Elliot, who's 5 months old. And that was just wonderful seeing him doing his thing, and he thought the computer was incredible. He kept looking around the screen, wondering where the rest of Grand was. It was just her face. So that was fun. And Randy is doing well, and we constantly talk about Tho and the teachings and how it applies in our lives and the lessons we're learning and how we progress. And so it's the rock in our life that keeps things steady. Even though crazy things go on with his work and where I'm at and different things. And it's like we can always bring it back to the center with Tho in the teachings. Presently, I'm busy with, speaking of Kyosha, you said you wanted a tiny house. I already live in a tiny house. Will do. Thank you, Maitreya. And so it always seems to happen that my renters give notice during feast time. So I'm interviewing a new renter this afternoon. So property management keeps me busy and challenged at the same time because there's all the personal interactions. And I have found that people do not tell you the truth when they're wanting something. So that's not fun, but you have to wade through that and ask for God's guidance in everyone. I had to turn down someone yesterday because his life just fell apart between the time he said he'd take the apartment and the time he wanted to pay the deposit. He just couldn't do it.
Well, it's good to hear your voice, Shirin, and it's good to hear that you're doing well, and the family and soul doing good, and give our love to him and say salam to him, and sound like your grandchildren are growing up. 8 years old. That's pretty old. I didn't expect him to be that old. That's great. That's all good positive thing, and that's true. People who want something from you, or you have something they desire, they lie. They lie to you to get it, and that is pretty disturbing. We have to create a human that they shouldn't lie at all, no matter what, unless the lies, save somebody's life, or it isn't, it is lied because, it's against some injustice that you have no power to justify it. And that's great. That's fantastic. All right, any other person like to talk? Some of you might not have the mic, that's okay, or have mic and just like, you know, be anonymous. I'm sure the tapes playing is doesn't want to say anything at all. Okay, well, we go ahead and let... yeah, he's very shy. And we let the procedure go on and read the first question.
Is it good for a person to join a group such as the United States Army or Navy?
Okay, the question is it good to join an army or a navy? Is it, do we encourage people join this kind of the organization? What do you guys think the answer can be? Why yes, why no? Why, you know, we want them to join them or we don't want them to join them? So the session is really a discussion and a brainstorming session. So think about it. The question is, should we join the army? And well, the answer, one of the answers already is only join the army of God. Okay, why and why not? Go ahead.
The reason that I put joining the army of God is because as you teach Maitreya about the different relationships in life, God is the highest, so that's where we should strive to have our focus. And I feel like this family here is the army of God on earth right now. The mission is the army of God. However, thinking back, you know, the movie was wonderful last night, and thinking back about Prophet Muhammad's time, you know, we are free to defend ourselves should anybody come against us slandering God and so forth. So in that case, maybe you would be part of the army, but you would still be with the army of God, defending God. So I'll release the mic.
Well, it has to do with time, place, and people involved, right? So an army or a navy in and of itself is not a bad thing. It, in fact, has many useful potentials. But every army and navy currently in service has a purpose of defending a nation, and we don't believe in nations. So it would be difficult to justify purposefully or willingly, without compulsion, joining one of those based on our feelings that, in fact, we would be going against our universal view by such a narrow idea. But fighting or armies or navies in and of themselves are not bad and will be useful for the kingdom. That's what I think.
Well, I'm going to play the devil's advocate. Why not? It's a fantastic opportunity. There's no job out there. You can't. Even if you have a, you know, well-educated, still getting a job is not that easy. And you join the army, they pay for your education, and you go and, you know, study a, you know, career. And then you come out, and if you get a career that you're not sent to the front line, you probably stay alive for 20 years, and then at the age of 38, you can retire or a little later and have a pension for the rest of your life. And you don't have to do anything if you don't want to, but if you want to make, you know, more money, you can. Now you are well trained for 20 years in your career, you can easily get a job. And so it's pretty nice, cushiony life. Why not?
But at the same time, everything comes with a price. You know, you never know what a person will encounter when he's in the Navy or Army, that he could be sent to a place like, you know, Iraq, Afghanistan, and could be in the middle of a situation that he might not like his consciousness, in his consciousness, or regret even, might be in a situation that he might do things that he will regret the rest of his lives. So he might gain some world but lose the spirit. But again, I think, as Noor said, doing things from knowledge, even that could be depend on the person, time and place, because like here in Turkey, it's you have to, as a citizen, you have to go to and do the military service. And I have did it when I first find the mission. I think after 6 months I was in the mission, I had to go to the military service. It's mandatory, exactly. And I learned a lot, about, military, guns, the system. But all thanks to God, I was very lucky. I did it as a psychologist. I was always dressed as a civilian. So, but I think that's the grace of God, and it can teach a person a lot. But I think it matters what is the person's intention, basically, in going and joining a group like that, because we know the only organization we can support for a solution or salvation is the mission. But we have, of course, we know we have to live in the world and do our part in daily life, at least to survive and become at least professional and support ourselves until more humanity can realize the mission. So I think it kind of depends too, but never sell your soul for the world, I guess.
Not a good bargain, that's what Christ said. You sell your soul for the world, then you might gain the world, as many have, but that is not a good bargain. And what is the first law in military anyway? Okay, when you go to the military, what do you learn? The first thing you learn is what? Yes, if you are in a situation in the military and the commander and tell you, go ahead, do it, can you argue and discuss and say, hey, we can sit here and discuss to see if it's okay, good idea or not? One of the first demands in military is what? Obedience. Unquestionable obedience. Actually, even if you do not agree, you have to obey. So the first thing is they train you to completely be obedient to the, will of the commander. So most of the command and idea that comes up in any military based on what? On the philosophy that army went to war for. So how can you avoid receiving an order that is absolutely against your will and your philosophy and your life? What you have to look for? So the whole military is based on the philosophy and belief of the people who created that military, isn't it? So, if you want to join a military, what do you look? Not to get yourself in a situation that is not based on your belief. Exactly. What that military stands for. What's the philosophy behind that military? Is it based on defending a people, or defending a nation or people if they are attacked, I mean real attack, and their life is in danger? Or is it based on a philosophy of, you know, converting them to godly ways? What is conscientious objective means? Anybody? I mean, objection. Nobody knows what conscientious objection means? Come on. Take the bike, raise your hand, participate.
I can't think of an example right now, but it's like, you know, if you are in a certain religion and it's against your religious beliefs or going against God, that you can object to doing something that you're ordered to do for that reason.
Okay, anybody agrees with her or disagree with her? Have another explanation? Come on, people. Answer the question. Someone step in. Otherwise, I'm going to answer it. So whatever you're saying in the writing, say it in the microphone. When they transcribe this session, they don't know what you wrote, but they hear what you say.
I'll read what Tahira wrote, objecting due to your beliefs. She also wrote, individual who has claimed the right to refuse to perform military service on the grounds of freedom of thought, conscience, and or religion.
But actually the whole sentence is self-explanatory. Consciousness objection. Anything that your consciousness objects or do not agree with. And even then you have to prove that you really mean it. And somebody thought you, they might even take you to court, then if it is mandatory like Turkey, you know, probably pretty hard to not to go to military service because you don't have any choice. It's not that you want to join or not. They say we have a, you know, dictatorship and mandatory, you know, thing, or our nation is in danger and we need you to come to the military. And then maybe in Turkey they send you to fight with the Kurds because they are the rebellious people against Turkish government. But you maybe believe in the rights of Kurds. Can you say to the, you know, that government or any government, the way, no, these people are correct, you know, they probably need more freedom, or say, I don't know if they do or not, I'm not very familiar with the situation, maybe they don't, but just an example, that you object to the way that the governments, you know, do, and most governments we know that they are interested in self-interest, and it's based on the business, you know, objectives, not based on a moral base of the military. So probably those who go to those military, they are also interested in the belief of their government that their business should be okay, or that they should be dominating the people, or whatever the reason is at this time that militaries are, you know, formed. And so really, from our point of the view, although we are not against anybody and we are hoping eventually they realize what you're saying is the truth and it's their salvation, and we're not going to, their fight is not our fight. Okay? This fight in this world, that really is not ours. It's their fight. It's not our fight. So it's, hey, reach to space. There are infinite resources there instead of, you know. So we can see that at least not, we don't fight with them, but we object to their goals. Our, in and out for everybody. In and out. In and out. Okay. Okay. Sound like we have it. Okay, well, in general, is different, and our goal is the philosophy of the government and why they are fighting, and to order for something you don't believe, and if you have an option not to join, and you have, it's a good idea not to. Okay, Saloon, it's just, this computer is an old 10 years laptop, and my connection is here. I don't know all of you know or not. I'm in Boise, Idaho. And sounds good, great. Okay, so, we have only 5 minutes. Why don't we just read the two other questions? The other question, of course, was, you know, you have to see the philosophy of the army that you want to join to see if you agree with it or not. If you don't, then it's really you know, you have an objection to their philosophy, and you don't want to do that, you know, unless you just go for the comfort of life and the good salary and all that. So that means selling your soul. And if you are object to their philosophy, then you don't do that. Anyway, let's read the two other questions and go over it for the next 5-6 minutes, and we then can call this session a success. Okay, go ahead.
Second question. Is 8 hours of sleep ideal?
Yeah, some people say that, and they enjoy it and use it that way, but it is not really a rule or law for everybody. It depends on each individual. Yeah. Some people say, not really, you should sleep whenever you feel tired, not sleep 8 hours straight. But some people like to sleep, you know, sleep 8 hours straight and stay awake whole day, and they're fine with it, and some people are not like that. And actually, Einstein, you know, for example, or it was somebody genius and very effective person, he just took a nap here and there, period, you know. I must have having a sleep for 8 hours straight, full asleep, you know, here and there, and they kept, you know, with the techniques and the things that had to be done. So it's not a law. If you like 8 hours, okay, it's cutting in and out. Okay, that's it. No, not really. It depends on the person who likes to sleep. I hope that's true. Next question?
Next question. In the book of Hosea, chapter 13, verse 4, God says, I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. Does this mean that God is from Egypt? And if God states there is no Savior besides He, then why do we refer to Jesus as our Savior?
Well, God also said, I am the God of Israel, and Muslims believe God is theirs. Does that mean that all of them are wrong or one of them is correct? Not really. God belongs to everybody, and that's why He doesn't mind say, I'm from Egypt, or I'm the God of Egypt, or I'm the God of Israel. And maybe that's a masterful way to say, I belong to everybody, you know. So none of them really can claim I'm their God because I said I'm from Egypt or I'm the God of Israel or I choose Muhammad to bring my message, therefore I belong only to the Arabs. That's not the way God works. God is everything. And He belongs to everybody and everything. And therefore, when we narrow ourselves in a one sentence of God, then we do not see the whole truth. But when we say, He said, I'm from Egypt, I belong to Israelites, I belong to Arabs, and then we say, oh, He belongs to everybody. He claimed I belong to all humanity one time or the other. So it means God belongs to everybody. He doesn't belong to Egypt. And Christ is the Savior because He came over and over and brought the words of God to humanity. And each part of them, of course, saved a lot of people and helped them. But of course, the greatest is the eternal divine path, which is the whole truth. Just like Islam say, Muhammad in Quran says, Islam is an essential part of the divine record or Akashic record. We say our teaching is the whole and the most, you know, essential or complete part of the Akashic record. So even Islam is a part of, essential part of the eternal divine path, but ours is much more expanded than Islam or any religion, and therefore it is the essence of the Akashic record. Okay, well, I leave our you in a good hand of God for the next year, and be good. We pray for you, pray for each other, love one another, and become one. Salam, everyone. See you all next year, maybe. Salam.